This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Botanic Garden, a stunning 52-acre garden in the heart of Brooklyn, featuring spectacular plant displays and inspiring public programs year-round. Learn more at bbg.org.
This week on Meat and Three, we celebrate good news in the food world, from record-setting butter sculptures to the latest discoveries in crop cultivation.
I think it was back in 2015. It was 2,370 pounds. And it was a Paris landscape, and so that became the Guinness World Record butter sculpture.
We don't understand everything about the world, so plant breeding also lets us work with all the unknown, maybe discovered along the way.
And we hear from the beloved chef and disaster relief organizer, Jose Andres.
Well, World Central Kitchenware organization that we like to be the first ones on the ground, and more often than not, we are the last ones on the ground.
Tune in to Meat and Three, Heritage Radio Network's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and I love to talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. If you're just tuning in for the first time, all the previous episodes of Feast Your Ears are available in the archives at heritageradionetwork.org. I believe this is episode number 160, so you've got a lot of listening to do. This year is Heritage Radio Network's 10th anniversary. I would love if you would join us for our spectacular gala coming up November 11th at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. We're also sponsoring this show today. The Botanic Garden, if you haven't been there, is amazing. They have a beautiful Japanese garden. They have a really cool collection of bonsai trees. You can tell I like Japan stuff. If you are a regular listener of this show, I was in Japan last week, so love Japanese stuff, but the Botanic Garden has a lot of other great things as well that are not specifically Japanese, but they also do have a cherry orchard for the Sakura Festival in the spring, so I guess, yeah, a lot of great Japanese stuff there at the Botanic Garden. But you can get your tickets to our gala at www.heritageradionetwork.org/gala. I'll be there. Lots of the other hosts will be there. It's going to be excellent food. There's going to be excellent drink. There's lots of prizes. There's a silent auction. It's in a really great space, so you should come and hang out with us. Please review and rate this podcast wherever you find it, love to hear from you. You can always email me, harry@thebrooklynkitchen.com. Today's theme, New York is a great place to stay home and travel through your stomach. I love to travel. It's exciting to see a new place, meet new people. Like I said, I was in Japan last week. Eat foods in the country or region of their creation. While you can eat great yakitori in New York, the yakitori experience I had in Osaka was, in my mind, superior. The food was probably about the same quality-wise, but the environment, the people, slight differences in custom, it's often what make the experience. To this end, in New York, aside from a few exceptions, I've had food that is just as good in terms of quality and preparation as I've had in any of my travels. But it's more often not the space, but the story, the feeling that you get, the environment created that make a meal memorable, or one that you want to repeat again. And that's really the key to a restaurant business, right? You need people to come again and again. And what is it that we seek? I think it's something different depending on the season, the day, our own mental, physical health at a given point in time. People often point to the vacation mind as a reason that you can taste a wine on vacation, love it, bring home a case, and then when you open one at home, it doesn't taste the same. Because we're not the same person every day or every week or even every hour. The ability of a restaurant to call up or deliver an experience is part of its charm, and it's something people don't even internalize or analyze very often, in large part because it's probably different for everyone. My guest today is Shruti Chowdhury, who grew up in the South Indian region of Andhra Pradesh, where she spent her first years of freedom as a teenager exploring local markets and began to fall in love with the variety of flavors and textures available there. While pursuing a master's degree here in New York, she realized that her true passion lay in bringing the tastes and dishes of her childhood to the restaurant scene of New York City. And the result is Kaladi Restaurant, which opened in the East Village this past August. Thanks so much, Shruti, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Harry.
So I want to talk about India. To me, it's a very exciting place. I've never been there. I would love to travel there, but it's a place that I think, at least for Americans, and maybe to a certain extent, you know, even New Yorkers, those of us that are like the most worldly of Americans, mm-hmm. View as a very singular place, mm-hmm. except that it's the second largest country on the planet, and we think of it as a singular thing, which it's not.
Yeah, it's a very handful of things people recognize about India. Yoga, namaste, curry, and probably
although the Japanese would tell you something otherwise, right? The Japanese and the Thai have curries that we also... So that gets muddled in and of itself.
I know. But India is a lot of things. Even born there and grew even when I grew up there, I think even I have a lot to learn about India because it's a lot of things and one lifetime is not enough, I feel like.
Well, I mean, I guess that's good then if you look at like the way that I guess a lot of the religions in India view things, right? You don't need, you get more than one lifetime.
The spirituality of it, the food, the cultures, the languages. Yeah. It's just a lot. Sometimes it's overwhelming, believe
sure.
me.
Yeah.
But I think the southern part of India, the culture of it, the food is not getting as much recognition as it's supposed to.
Sure.
Or the respect it deserves. Mainly because when the British was ruling India, when they left India, they just took the curry. And that's what made chicken tikka masala or butter chicken the most popular curries from India.
Sure.
And none of them explored the southern part of Indian food scene or the dishes, which never got the recognition. And once the Indian restaurants started to pop up all over the world, it's all about butter chicken and the samosas.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it all stopped and no one is taking it further. And that's what we wanted to change with Kiladi.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you grew up in a vegetarian household, right? Your mom's vegetarian?
My mom, yes. She almost... So in India, people be vegetarian or meat eaters depending on the religion and caste.
Right.
So even though I don't belong to one of those, my mom almost raised us like Brahmins, the priests are part of the caste system. But my friends used to make fun of me all my childhood, saying that you almost grew up like a Brahmin child when you're not. And my mom used to feel so proud about it. And she used to be like, we used to have this long as debates saying that, why do you even need meat? You have protein in eggs, you have all the nutrients, because she's all about well-rounded nutritional meal. And she used to argue with me all the time saying, you don't need meat, you can get all the other stuff in without hurting something or without eating something. I tried and tried and one day I gave up. And if not for our dad, me and my sister would have been so, we would have missed out on life by not having meat. Let's just put it that way. So, yeah, even though I complain a lot about her, her making me eat all those vegetarian meals, actually, and when I go to Indian restaurants, you won't believe, I don't really eat meat.
Hmm.
I only go for vegetarian dishes or vegetarian curries because they taste much better. Vegetarian food in South Indian food is, I think, the most delicious meal you could have as a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yes, meat is great, meat is good, but I like vegetarian more in Indian food. And even in Kiladi's menu, if you see, you have a lot of vegetarian options.
I noticed, actually. Yeah, you guys have a lot of vegetarian options. And, you know, I'm always amazed by the sort of width and breadth of flavor that appear in Indian food in general. But it seems like in South Indian food, that's really where it's at. I mean, you have these intense layerings of different spices and you have really intensely flavored pickles, which means a very different thing to me growing up as like a Jewish kid in New York. Pickle is something very different than what you grew up with in India. And, you know, those flavors to me are so exciting.
Yes, they totally are. And South Indian cuisine use a lot of curry leaf, which is a lot flavorful, and it's not out there. People don't know what it tastes like, what curry leaf is, but it's a very crucial spice or element in South Indian cooking. And if you see in any South Indian household, you have this spice box that every household owns, every mom owns, which have a little bit of, it has a small bowls in a big steel box. And each one has mustard seeds, cumin seeds, curry leaf, garlic, chilies, and lentils. That's like the essence of any South Indian household cooking. Those things go in anything and everything, in each dish.
And that's where the dish starts, really,
yes.
right? Is from the spices. Whereas I think the way that, at least the way I grew up in the West, it was not about how you start with the spices. It was, okay, are we having chicken or steak? Are we having potatoes or rice? Are we having broccoli or carrots, right? Like it started from what we think of as like the larger ingredient rather than what flavors this can have.
Yeah, that is so true. And Actually, let me just walk you through a small dish. First, the oil goes in the pan, and all these things from the box, the spice box, goes into the oil. The oil is flavored with those spices.
Now, that to me is the that is the number one thing that anyone listening to this show who wants to elevate their home cooking should take away from this show, is that it's not about... When I first learned to cook curry, I was in college. We had no money. I lived with my roommates, and we would just get vegetables. I lived with a bunch of vegetarians, and of course, meat was expensive. And we would basically saute all the vegetables and then toss in the cumin and the turmeric and all the stuff, and we called it curry. And I guess in the sense that it was a bunch of spices mixed with stuff cooked together, yes, it was curry, but we missed the most important
essence.
Part.
Yeah. And I also want to tell the listeners that you don't really need to buy an expensive curry powder or like curry mix. It could be very simple. Just get these ingredients and put it in the oil, flavor the oil. It could be cloves, cinnamon. We use all those spices as well, especially for non-vegetarian. Mm. The meat part of the cooking, all these other spices, the bay leaf, cumin, cloves, cinnamon, star anise, all of these go into the oil first so that the oil absorbs all the flavor from the spices. And anything that's cooked in that oil gets the flavor from the oil. So that's the base or 101 of Indian cooking or 101 of my cooking. Yeah. That's how I cook.
Yeah.
And simple ginger, garlic, equal ratios of ginger and garlic, make them a paste. That gives you a pack of punch of flavor to the meat. So basics like this are not known to anyone.
Right.
Like you just said, you just get few of the masala powders you think that gives the flavor and put it to the chicken or the vegetables that you're cooking. But it need not be that complicated or expensive. It could be very simple and use the freshest ingredients. It makes you feel good about eating that.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So tell me about your mom's pickle. That's on the menu. You're making all the pickle fresh in the restaurant, right?
So Indian way of making pickles is a lot different from the Western way of making pickles. We don't really use vinegar or any of the elements that we use in pickling the vegetables here. And it's such a comforting meal when you have a pickle with a bowl of hot rice. It's like what mom feeds me or you know, when I go on a vacation and come back, that's the first thing I do. I just put on my rice cooker, make a couple cups of rice, and then just pull the pickle out of my refrigerator that my mom sends me, a little butter to the rice, and then the pickle, it just takes you places, believe me. I'll probably drop by and drop off some pickles to you. Yeah.
I would love that.
And rice is the staple of any South Indian household, and that's what I grew up eating, and that takes me back home, and that's why pickle is so important. And mango is a very big fruit in India, and every summer the raw green mangoes are sent to my home from my grandmother's farm. So, and my mom and her friends sit down. It's not just the pickle itself, the taste of it, but it the memories it brings back and the story it has to tell. I think that's what makes it even more special.
Mm.
So they cut the mangoes, they dry the mangoes in the sun for like a couple of days, and then they salt them so that it acts like a preservative for, because every year, every summer they go through this. And the pickle they make this summer will last till next summer.
Right,
so
sure.
That's the reason they need to make sure it doesn't go bad.
And this is a group activity.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. How much does your family make?
Probably 5 to 6 jars, like jars in sense, big jars. Yeah, and there is a special jar that they use just for pickling, just like how we use the mason jars for pickling here. Yeah, and those jars are like, you can't touch one jar until the before one is finished. My mom has very strict rules about it. Yeah, so yeah, and once that is the actual fruit part of it is taken care of, then she roasts the fenugreek seeds and then make a powder of it. That's what gives most of the flavor to the pickle, and then salt, chili, a lot of chili powder.
Yeah.
that's the reason our pickles, the pickles that they make back home, look very different. They look very red in color because of the chili powder. Mm. And chili powder and the fenugreek powder is kind of the gravy that you use to dip in or to mix the rice with.
Got it.
And then the fermented and pickled mango, bite into it, it's heaven. It's a slice of heaven.
So if someone doesn't have an Indian mom or an Indian grandma to mm-hmm. send it to them, mm-hmm. And they were looking to get some of this style of pickle, what should they be looking for if they're going into one of, say, they go to Kalustian's or one of the Indian spice shops not far mm-hmm. from your restaurant?
They could go to any Indian grocery store, yeah. and they have some name brand companies that do these pickles. And they'll probably find a whole aisle for it. And they have tomato, mango, ginger, a lot of vegetables, carrot, mixed vegetable. You can find all kinds of vegetables and pickles associated with it in sure. that aisle. Yeah.
Well, don't sleep on that. Everyone should go buy some. I have some in my refrigerator. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's so delicious. I will, you know, warn you, you know, something I find that in the West we're not used to is having pieces of things, shell or hard things mm-hmm. or large pieces of spice or bones in food that we're eating. In these pickles, you will find the pieces of the mango, like the hard pit of the mango mm-hmm. will usually be in there. So don't like take a big spoonful and like chomp down on yeah. it. You got to be a little bit careful, but it's super delicious. So I definitely recommend you go check it
out. I think that's the weird part for any Westerner, that you have to spit out some. Something yeah, after right. eating, yeah, but it came very naturally for yeah. us, I guess, yeah.
So when I asked before the show about your pet peeve related to food, I found it interesting that your response was you're not okay with funky smelling foods. And so I lots of Westerners that mm-hmm. I know will go into like an Indian restaurant and be like, oh, I don't know, it smells weird, mm-hmm. right? They're not really sure. So for you, as someone who grew up around, I mean, the flavors are intense. That doesn't mean that they smell bad. Mm-hmm. It just means that they're very intense
yeah.
flavors. You know, what are the flavors, you know, is it like the... What, you know, off flavors, rotting flavors, is that the thing that bothers
yes.
you?
Yes. I'm okay with Indian, like the intense sure. smells, intense flavors, I'm okay with that. But you know how seafood smells?
Sure.
I can't take those smells. The yeah. That is funky for me. The yeah. So you could have understood by now, I'm not a big on seafood.
Yeah.
Because it smells so... Yeah. intense well, and I think, in a and bad I think, way for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, and I think part of that too has to do with the fact that it's something that spoils very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and spoilage is not, it's not a clear line, mm-hmm. right? Like spoilage is a process.
Yes.
And so you can eat something that's starting to spoil and it's not going to make you sick, but it mm-hmm. might not smell good.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And so that I think is...
I completely understand yeah, I mean, you. I think that's also something I learned from my mom, how to... decide if it's okay to eat, even sure. if it's like on that borderline of being spoiled. I totally understand you. But seafood, I think yeah. that's what gets me the smell.
I mean, I always say the nose knows, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like you, and it's the way, I mean, when I teach people, you know, pickling and fermenting mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing, like, you know, like if you taste something and it's something you're not supposed to eat, mm-hmm. your body's pretty much going to tell you. I mean, there are certainly poisoned mushrooms and all kinds of other poisoned berries that taste good and are mm-hmm. bad for you. But in terms of like fermented foods, if a pickle doesn't taste good, don't eat it.
Yes. And for me, I think... even with the good part of smelling, right? I eat with my eyes, nose, and the textures first, and then the actual taste. I think if all these are right, the actual taste should be right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break and hear from our sponsor. Today's sponsor is the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. And when we come back, I want to talk about the actual opening of the restaurant.
Sure.
This episode is brought to you by Brooklyn Botanic Garden, a stunning 52-acre garden in the heart of Brooklyn, featuring spectacular plant displays and inspiring public programs year-round. Harvest Homecoming, an old-school fall foliage festival, comes to Brooklyn Botanic Garden on Sunday, October 20th. Celebrate cider season with New York cider houses and kombucha makers, bringing hard and soft ciders and fermented drinks to try or buy. A pop-up farmers market will feature heritage apples from local orchards. Groove to the sounds of fresh Americana music and world beats throughout the day. Bring your friends and family and make a day of it with hay rides, lawn games, a children's Halloween costume parade, and more, all in the heart of Brooklyn. Learn more about Brooklyn Botanic Garden at bbg.org.
I hope you're enjoying this podcast. And you know, Heritage Radio Network has thousands more. Hi, my name is Linda Palacio, and I'm the host on A Taste of the Past here on HRN. Join us on a weekly journey through culinary history, where we explore the when, where, what, and why of food throughout history. You can find A Taste of the Past wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back to Feast Your Ears. If you're just tuning in, my guest today is Shruti Chowdhury. She's the owner of Kaladi Restaurant, which opened about almost 2 months ago.
A little over a month.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going good, touch wood, so far, yeah. Without alcohol.
Yeah.
People are just coming in for food, and that's a win for us, yeah.
Awesome.
Especially in the neighborhood we are, East Village, Alphabet City.
Yep.
It's a lot of partying and clubbing going on.
Sure.
And I was one of them, too.
Sure.
The whole reason we opened up in East Village is I fell in love with the neighborhood,
yep,
since I moved to the city. And I go there a lot. And one day, me and my friend, we went to a jazz bar that we usually visit. And coming back from the jazz bar, we saw this place which was up for lease. And we were like, oh, wow, probably we should reach out and ask. That's where it all started.
That's great. I mean, the thing that I think, the East Village is such a vibrant neighborhood, and it really is a neighborhood. And
mm-hmm.
It's one of the few in New York, although on the northern reaches, like up on 14th Street, they've built these giant buildings. But a lot of the neighborhood has maintained these smaller, older style apartment buildings,
mm-hmm,
where I feel like you can't help but have some kind of a community.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the big buildings, I feel like it's very easy to never see people.
Yes.
Right. But the village still maintains that. And, you know, for a small restaurant, like, that's who you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need the people who live upstairs and the people who live across the street to come to your restaurant a lot. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're so right, Harry. And I already have people who are coming back to the restaurant, which are from neighborhood. It's like I'm already making connections and I'm already making friends from
the
neighborhood, which is a very important part for Kaladi. Yes, food should taste good, food should be good, but community and neighborhood is also something we are really hell-bent on to build with Kaladi.
There's some items on the menu I noticed that seem like they cross borders, but I'm wondering if they are cross borders or it's just the way you've chosen to describe them. You have an idli poutine.
Yes.
Is that an Indian dish, or is it really taking idli and then making poutine?
It's one of our signature dishes, and it did cross borders. It's
cool.
East meets West kind of dish. It is the Canadian poutine that we drew the influence from, and instead of the fries, we did idli, which is South Indian staple breakfast. It's steamed lentil cakes, which will very well substitute for the fries,
yeah,
and even more healthier than fries,
sure,
because it's made out of lentils, it's not fried, it's steamed, and it's like a sponge. It does have some flavor to it, but it's like a sponge. It just absorbs all the goodness from the meat and the cheese and the curry sauce that we have with the poutine.
Yeah. I find it very interesting, and kind of, I guess it's sort of like kismet in a way. But the space that you ended up taking over, that you happened to walk past, has been a number of other Indian restaurants in the past.
It sure has a story and history, a lot of history.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't believe, like, probably 60% of the customers who walk in, they'll be like, oh, there was an Indian restaurant here before this, and before that was also an Indian. Yes, and we're trying to break the cycle.
Yeah. Of course. Now, did that mean, did you have to do a large amount of renovations, or was the kitchen sort of already set up for what you needed to be cooking Indian food?
I should say we did have to do everything new, because we had to get our own equipment, but the kitchen itself, even with the simple things like fire ancel system, where we need to repipe the hood and everything, we had to go through everything.
Oh, you did.
But the space itself, the dining area and everything, we didn't have to do a whole lot of renovations, but we did some cosmetic changes.
Sure, absolutely. And you guys have a mural on the wall?
Yes. Yeah. I should talk about that, because that's the attitude of Kaladi. So the artist who did it, she's based out of Chicago. Her name is Jenny Vyas. And she did not work in the city. She did a couple murals in Chicago. And I've been following her work for a while now. And when I thought of doing Kiladi, I thought I should bring Jenny to the city. And I want someone who never did any of their work in the city to do Kiladi. And then I reached out to her. She came up with a sketch. And I said, what I want. It's a South Indian bride look who is unconventional, who is not traditional, which is why she has a cigarette. She has that attitude in her face. She's like, no, so what kind of attitude? And once we finalized the sketch, she flew down from Chicago, hand-painted it for a week, and we loved doing it with her and the whole process of it. It was beautiful. And Kiladi also made us to meet new people, realize things that we would have never known in our lives if not for Kiladi.
Sure. Yeah. Now, the restaurant, you have a relationship with Godavari,
yes,
right? Which is a chain of South Indian restaurants who don't have an outpost in New York City.
They used to have one in Long Island City.
Got it.
But they closed down later. It's one of their first few franchisees that opened up in New York. But they recently opened one in Jersey City, which is close to Manhattan.
Sure.
Yes, Godavari is a very typical South Indian restaurant with huge buffets and like probably 20-page menu. You have like probably 300 items on the menu.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a very big operation.
Like an Indian version of it, we think of it as a classic Greek diner.
Yes, right? Something like that, yeah. You could never get to all of the items probably in 1 year, yeah. So the CEO of Godavari, Kaushik, he is one of my closest friends, and we always talk food. We always try to see where we can. Even before Kiladi, I had this interest in food and bug in my head that South Indian food never got the representation it deserves. And we keep talking a lot about food since him being in food industry, and we are also friends from back home. We are from the same city.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And then this February when I went to India, I told my parents, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm going to do, because for me, my parents' approval is I need it just to feel good about what I'm doing. So I told them, they were questions, I answered them. My mom, not so happy because she doesn't want me to work hard. My dad was like, okay, let's do it, let's see what you got to do. And that's also a big part of my... the whole venture, I should say. If not for my parents, I wouldn't do what I'm doing today, and I wouldn't be where I'm today. Yeah. So yeah, and Kaushik and me decided. We sat down. We made the menu, and I should say, Kiladi is progressive Indian, but we are still true to the flavors and
sure.
the actual authenticity of dish. Sometimes in making a dish modernized way, you lose the actual authenticity of the dish, and that's what we didn't want to do with Kiladi.
Yeah, no. I mean, the menu looks awesome. I can't wait to get into
to
try
to
it
have
out.
You.
You know, some of the things that I mean, obviously the pickle, I'm super excited by. The poutine looks great, but even the dosas,
yes,
look awesome.
Those are a big hit, and it's like the butter chicken of South Indian food, right?
Sure.
Everyone knows a dosa.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely. But I mean, I find that to be such comforting food to eat.
It's one of my favorite foods on the planet. And my mom literally has to count how many dosas I'm eating as a kid. And she'll be like, you had four of them. I think you're good. You need to stop now. Because she always wants me to have a space in my stomach to have
sure.
a fruit at the end of my meal.
Yeah.
So she has to stop me eating from dosas. Yeah.
So you guys are going to have a secret menu?
Yes. We are. We already have, and some of the Google reviewers, they already started posting on the reviews, ask for the secret menu, because, again, as I said, South Indian food has a lot of scope and a lot of dishes, and we couldn't do all of them on the menu, and we want to have a secret menu. That way we can give tidbits of here and there of the dishes that we can't resist not people having them.
Yeah,
that's where the secret menu idea came from.
I mean, I think that's awesome, because I mean the menu obviously has some really amazing stuff on it, but I think it's also, you're trying to keep the menu small and
yes.
I'm sure keep it tight, keep your food costs tight and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the idea of a secret menu, you can always change it.
Yes,
right?
And,
and it's way more exciting than having a specials board, because I feel like New Yorkers are very savvy and understand that, if you see I don't know, on like the brunch menu, if you see like steak and eggs, mm-hmm. it might be because there was prime rib left on Friday night, right? Like, the, you know, like those things happen, which is fine, right? It doesn't mean the food isn't delicious, uh-huh. but the idea of a secret menu means that there's stuff that like you got to be in the know, which yes, of course we yes. love as New Yorkers.
And it's easy in New York, I think, as you said, because yeah. New Yorkers are very used to the food scene and different menus, the ideas, and it's easy to take something like this to the New Yorkers because they're very educated yeah. in restaurant industry.
Totally. Who's the guy in sunglasses on the menu?
So he is one of the superstars. That's his, you believe me or not, that's his tagline, Superstar Rajnikanth. Rajnikanth is his name, actually.
Got it.
And he is, I don't know who to compare to, a Hollywood actor. He's an old guy. He's been there for a while. Tarantino, maybe, of the
Got
South
it.
India. Yeah. He's very popular and he's very well respected. And he's also that, has that thug life kind of look for his recent movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's one of them. It's just so people can connect to South Indian culture
when they
see him. Yeah.
And is the restaurant named after the film?
No.
Of the same name? I did find that there was a film named Kiladi.
Yeah. Right? And the Kiladi movie you're talking about, the film, is a North Indian movie. It's from Bollywood.
Ah, got it.
Kiladi means player. And we are a little playful with the food.
Sure.
That's the reason we named it Kiladi. And we also used to call our friends, you're being a Kiladi.
Ah.
Which means like, you know, you're being smart and a smart ass kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not literally player, but smart ass, yeah.
For sure, for sure. Thank you so much for joining me today on
Thank
Feast
you
Your
for
Ears.
Having me.
I encourage everybody to go down to the corner of 11th and B and check out Kiladi and ask for the secret menu
yes.
when you're there. I assume the restaurant being very new, they probably are likely to find you at the restaurant all the time, right?
Yes, all the time. And they can't escape me. No, but yeah, I'm there always and I try to give the best experience the customer could get. With me or without me, we run them through the menu, help them through any questions that they have with the menu, because we know a lot of it is very new and not familiar.
Sure, but all delicious.
Yes.
Thanks so much.
That's so true. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Feast Your Ears today. You can find Feast Your Ears, as well as lots of other great shows, at heritageradionetwork.org, on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please take a moment to rate and review the show, and you can reach out to me if you have questions or show ideas, harry@thebrooklynkitchen.com, and you can follow me on Instagram, @thefoodballer. Talk to you next week.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter, @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.